proud to be here with our Commissioner for the Office of Emergency Management, Bill Esposito, for legal matters, and Michael D. Larry Byrne, and the FDNY Chief of Staff, Robert Sweeney. We are here today in Washington to make very clear that the federal government cutting back our security funding by 50% would fundamentally undermine the safety of New Yorkers and would be counterproductive for our whole country. New York City is the number one terror target in the country. We work hard every day to stop terror attacks. In fact, NYPD over 15 years has thwarted 20 different terrorist plots. We need to continue that work. We need to do even more to prevent terror in what's becoming a more complicated threat environment. And God forbid there ever was a terror attempt on us, we have to contain it instantly. That's why we depend on federal funding for the latest in technology and training and equipment so we can stop terrorism, we can contain terror incidents. Anything that happens in New York City is going to reverberate all over the country, all over the world. We take on that responsibility with full understanding. That's why we commit so many of our own taxpayer dollars protecting our own people, but also knowing that we have a responsibility to our nation. But our nation has a responsibility to do its fair share. And cutting back security funds by 50% at a time when we have more terror threats than ever before makes no sense. So I want to thank Chair Donovan for inviting me to speak before the subcommittee. I want to thank him for his leadership. He's clearly doing all he can to get these cuts restored and get us our fair share. But it really makes no sense that the federal government would let us down this way. We're going to do everything we can on a bipartisan basis here in Congress to fight these cuts.
Mr. Mayor, when you see, right down the stairs of you from here tomorrow at about this time, the House Budget Committee is preparing its budget. There's an epic fight between inside the Republican Party to cut billions of dollars in spending. How do you think that they can do that when, you talk to someone like Congressman Donovan, they understand, you make your compelling case, but downstairs they're looking to cut in ways that they've never cut before just to get an agreement downstairs tomorrow?
Look, let's put aside philosophical differences for a moment. I would argue that there are many ways to find the revenue necessary for such vital work as security. But within any budget scheme, protecting human life comes first. Protecting our people is the first obligation of the government. And no one's doubting that the threat environment's gotten a lot harsher. No one's doubting that the threats are more numerous and more complex. So I would say whatever base we're working from in terms of revenue, security should come first. It makes no sense to take away security dollars from cities all over the country, and especially from the one that's the number one terror target. What it will mean over time is that we cannot keep improving our prevention of terror. We are building out our domain awareness system with the federal funds. We won't be able to do that if it's not there. We're training more and more officers for active shooter scenarios. We won't be able to do that if the federal funds aren't there. We're continuing to strengthen security in the World Trade Center area as that area becomes more vibrant economically, more people working there. We won't be able to have those additional protections without federal funding. So we'll have very real impacts. And again, we know that the threat can come at any time from anywhere in any part of the city. So reducing our technological capacity and our training makes no sense. Well, I would look forward to that opportunity. Today we are responding to the invitation from Chair Dunham, who obviously is a part of the Republican majority, and I think will represent energetically the terms that we raised here. But I would certainly welcome the conversation with McConnell and with Steve Ryan. And I think this should be something that is really not seen through partisan issues. Security is something that everyone should agree on. And I have not met anyone who disagrees that we're the number one terror target. You just heard Chair McCall at the start of this hearing say very clearly New York City is viewed, he said, likely the number one target. I think that's something that there is an awareness on across the spectrum, and that's why we have to get this right.
Mayor, sir, critics of this spin, they weren't at the hearing tonight. So how do you reach out to them?
Look, I'm happy to talk to anyone because the facts really are on our side. Every dollar that's been allocated is being spent. The equipment that we need is coming in, but it doesn't come in overnight. And look, I think one of the things we heard from the ranking member of the Congressman Payne is that this is happening in real time. The fight against terror is an everyday reality that is evolving all the time. We have to constantly update our technology, constantly update our training. We're going to fight terror. You don't do it by resting on your laurels. You do it by constantly innovating and improving. So I would happily meet with any critics and show them the evidence of the fact that what we've done to date has worked. 20 attacks thwarted. It's worked because we made the investments. If we hadn't made the investments, we wouldn't have been able to do that. I think it's in everyone's interest that we keep stopping these terror plots. Last call.
Have you had any conversations with the president?
I have not. I'm seeing Secretary Johnson later on today. I'll certainly express my views very strongly to him. He's been a great partner to us, and it's been a very respectful process. He said, we disagree on this. I'll certainly let him know very squarely why.
Okay, thank you very much.
I think she's going to do great. I'm a Hillary supporter. I think her message becomes clearer all the time that we have to address income inequality, we have to create a more fair economy, we have to address underlying frustrations that people are facing all over the country. The way to do that is by raising wages and benefits, creating kinds of efforts families need, like prepay and paid family leave, and raising taxes on the wealthy so we can afford to make the investments. As the message is coming across clearer and clearer, I think she's going to be very helpful. Her position on trade is very clear. Because it wouldn't be fair to American workers. I think she'll have many opportunities up ahead to show all the ways that she can restore the real cycle. But one thing is perfectly clear, she will not accept the trade deal that was American workers.
Thank you.
Thanks, ma'am.